All right, we're back for the first module of our storyline here, talking about the infrastructure foundation giving you a flexible and resilient fabric. Kenan, kick it off for us, please.
All right, so like we talked about earlier today, the infrastructure foundation gives you that underlying physical infrastructure, your compute, your network, your storage,
yep.
and all of that, whether it's on-premises or in the cloud. We're going to focus on a couple of scenarios right here before I move into the on-site demo, just so that you can see kind of what types of things are available and what kinds of things you can do. In this example right here, most organizations, they got a lot of different servers, and they may have SAN storage, they may have locally attached storage, but they're not using their storage probably as efficiently as they could. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to have to buy a SAN for every single environment to get that shared storage that can move virtual machines around, right? So instead, you know, that's the problem Richard as an IT guy has to face every day. What can he do about it? Well, with Windows Server 2012, we implemented storage spaces. And storage spaces allows me to pool these storage that I have together to provide these pools that I can divvy out to the individual servers that I have.
Yeah, and like, you know, you can have just JBODs, right? Just, you know, just regular old disks, and there's a lot of really cool things to save your company a bunch of money.
Exactly.
And you're creating a really high performance system, and like similar to what you might find in a SAN, right?
Exactly. Not only that, I can use SAN where it's important and where it works, and I can use DAS and lower cost storage as alternatives for places where it needs to be. So I can add this additional capacity using just a wide range of industry storage that's out there, JBODs and everything, and pull them all together.
Yeah.
And now that means I can create this pool, push this pool out, and then if I need more resources, I can just add more disks to the pool, expand it on the fly, and let my users take advantage of those resources.
Just another side note, I mean, that's related to Windows Server 2012, really big feature, data deduplication, pretty huge deal on saving customers a bunch of space and using that technology there too.
And data duplication is very, very important, but for now it's good with files that are at rest. You know,
right,
your Word documentation, all those little files out there. For your Hyper-V servers, your SQL servers, that data still, because it's all active files
that's
are
right.
open, you wouldn't really data duplicate.
That's right. I just had to do that little plug, though. Just another storage capability. That's cool.
Exactly. But storage gives you that flexibility. Windows Server 2012 brings that to life.
Yeah.
Another thing is, what do I do? How do I build resiliency in my underlying fabric? Well, the fact is that if I architect my infrastructure correctly, I have multiple sites, probably. Either my site or a partner or a data center or a service provider or something. But I want to make sure that I have a better disaster recovery solution. And how do I enable that? Well, if I lose an item, you know, if I lose just an element on the box, it's not a big deal. You know, I could just fail it over to another node. But I have to set up some type of replication to another site. And Hyper-V Replica, a new feature of Windows Server 2012, provides me that capability.
Yeah, and that's the great thing is, hey, you don't have to buy all these series of other suites of products. That's just included right out of the box in Windows Server 2012.
Exactly, it's right there and available for me.
And just uses that standard format for your VHDs.
Yep. So if I lose a disk, if I lose a node in my cluster, it'll fail it over to another cluster. That node comes back, I'll fail the resources back. If I lose the entire data center, though, with Hyper-V Replica and those data being replicated over there, mm-hmm. I can bring them up over on the remote site. And then, you know what, over time, I get my site back or, you know, I build a new site, and then I can fail those resources back over. So clustering, Hyper-V Replica, those types of things keep virtual machines up and running. And those are some of the things that we're going to show you in the next story that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, well, let's see it. Let's see it in action.
All right, so that story is focused on four different scenarios. With this flexible and resilient fabric story we're going to talk about right now, we're first going to explore an existing configuration. Maybe I was running Server 2008, maybe I didn't have all the clustering set up, and I've upgraded those hosts to Hyper-V in Windows Server 2012. But they're running with disks on local storage. What do I do to build better redundancy and better flexibility in case I lose that node?
Yeah, and maybe you're the IT guy and you've been tackled with so many projects to do, and you've gotten around to it. You've got Hyper-V running, the virtual machines are chugging away.
Yep.
Just haven't gotten to make it more highly available and resilient. So,
exactly. Yeah. And then we're gonna explore some of the resilient infrastructure, that storage pools and the ability to do things on the storage infrastructure and store these virtual machines on a file server instead of some massive shared storage environment. Once we have explored those pieces, we're going to take that virtual machine and move it to that resilient storage and show you just how quick and easy that is. And then lastly, we talked about that resiliency. Well, implementing Hyper-V Replica is the way to do that, and we'll walk through those steps as well.
Okay.
So let's get started. All right, so here's the environment that we're going to be working in. It's this immersion environment that we've created, and right now we have it hosted back in Microsoft Corp. And we have this application that helps us walk through the different labs and scenarios that we're going to be running. So let me pull up the immersion environment here. It'll bring up the application. And as you see, we have all those different scenarios and stories that we're going to talk about. We're going to pull up the flexible and resilient fabric, which really has talked about what we talked about. We've transitioned to Server 2012, System Center 2012 SP1, but we haven't really built in that resiliency yet. This is the next step.
Yeah, right so here. Even if you're on, let's say, 2008 R2, this could be maybe a next step for you to start to go, a path to go down.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's get you to 2012, and from 2012, let's get you on that resilient infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So in this scenario here, we're just going to show you where we're at. It's just kind of like a, let's get used to the environment, get familiar, see where we're at. So by opening Hyper-V Manager console, we'll be able to connect to the existing host that has those virtual machines on there, not a clustered host, and we'll connect to that server right now.
Yeah, and of course, the from Server 2008 R2 to Server 2012, the console looks the same, but there are some new features that are lit up under the hood there. With Windows Server 2012 and the Hyper-V console.
Exactly. So things like now being able to move a virtual machine and be able to turn on Hyper-V Replica and those types of things.
Right.
So if I go down to my server here, which happens to be a legacy app running on a legacy VM, well, it's number 28. So I just take a look at that machine right here. And if we right-click at the settings, what we really are concentrating on here is the fact that that virtual machine is stored on the local hard drive. It's an H drive. That drive is just disks on the local machine. And as we all know, that gives me no redundancy. If that machine goes down, that virtual machine's down. If I lose that disk, I'm dead.
Right.
That's an important application.
Yep.
So I need to move that to someplace better. And that's what we're going to show you, is what is that better place look like, and then how do we get there?
Yeah, and there's multiple types of resiliency that you can have, right? So one of the new things in Windows Server 2012 with Hyper-V, you can do SMB storage, right?
Exactly.
You can have your VHD on a network path.
And that's exactly
right?
Where we're going.
Yep.
So let's see what happens. So I'm going to cancel this out, and then we're going to walk right into the next scenario. I mean, all we did quickly was just show you where he is, and that's the most important thing that a lot of customers come across, is that they don't necessarily, they think, okay, I got a cluster, I got a lot of servers, but they don't necessarily put in those virtual machines in the right location to take advantage of that.
Yep.
And that's where we go with the next story here, and that is that we're going to talk about the resilient infrastructure with Failover Cluster Manager. So let's launch Failover Cluster Manager, and what you're going to see here is that we have an SMB file share that's a scale-out file server that's supporting our clustered environment.
Yeah, and that's one of the new features as well in Windows Server 2012, that failover cluster, making that a much more highly available solution for you.
It is the exact thing that we came out with Server 2012.
Yeah, clustering in general is a huge improvement. You can cluster almost anything now with Windows Server 2012.
Exactly, and in fact, you can have these clusters that support your SQL environment, where SQL stored SMB file share, which is clustered in itself, stored on resilient and redundant hardware in the background, so you can really run a fully redundant infrastructure. And inside of here, we're going to just look at the different roles and resources that are available. And if I open up the roles here, we can see all the different virtual machines that are installed on this already. I have existing ones here. And if we pick one of them and we look at the properties of that virtual machine under the settings, we can see that we're running these virtual machines on now not local storage, but you can see the WAC host O2.
Right.
In 2008 R2, you'd never see that WAC. You'd be like, that just never would work.
It wouldn't work, right? Yeah,
exactly.
That doesn't work. And then, you've got, just to be clear, I mean, there's resiliency also in your disk storage system, right? But then there's also the availability of doing a highly available a Hyper-V cluster too. So if a compute node goes down, you still got a, you know, a server
a
that's
node
up,
that's
right?
A failover. And that's what we're going to do now. We're going to take that virtual machine running on the single disk, running on a single Hyper-V node that's isolated, and we're going to move it into a multi-server Hyper-V cluster connected to back-end storage that's running a scale-out file server that's all through SMB with multiple paths to the storage to really have a fully resilient infrastructure that allows me to get the most uptime I can possibly get for these virtual machines. All right, so we see that virtual machines now can be stored on a resilient scale-out file server. We see that this cluster can see that server. So let's move along and move these virtual machines to that node. Again, we've been showing you Windows Server and just some of the things you can do in Windows Server with Failover Cluster Manager, Hyper-V Manager. Well, we have Virtual Machine Manager, which is a part of System Center, that allows me to run and manage multiple Hyper-V hosts from a single console. And this would allow me to then see and add both the unclustered host as well as the clustered hosts inside of different host groups, inside of VMM. And at that point, it's simply basically a drag and drop into the cluster.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Virtual Machine Manager is, you know, is your is really the interface you're going to want to use if you're starting to go more than one, really one, even
more
one host
one.
Or
yeah. Right. But, yeah. I mean, it works for all the way down to one, but a lot of customers maybe they want to go to individual Hyper-V console for each one here, there. But when you start getting into more than one, and you want to do a lot of things like multiple live migrations and drag and drop and those types of things, VMM gives you that ability, plus the templated capability. But we'll talk about that in a second. So if we look at the host right here, we've connected to the virtual machines. If we expand the host file, the host, and we see that we have two or three folders here. But the one folder that we're interested in is where host02 is located. And these are the existing virtual machines that are running inside of there. If I sort this, I can get down to my virtual machine, which is Legacy App 28 right here, and it's running on that local system. Well, all I need to do to move that virtual machine to the clustered environment, which happens to be over here under the clustered hosts as VM cluster 01 right there, is click Migrate Virtual Machine. That'll bring up the migration wizard. Because of the fact that I have many different types of live migration, they talk about the fact that we have also quick migration, which we've done since 2008, and that would cost some outage. So it gives us a little bit of, it warns us, but it's really just, we're going to be using full shared nothing live migration. I'll explain what that is in a second after I kick it off. Because with shared nothing live migration, I'm moving a virtual machine and the virtual hard disk on the fly while the VM's running without any downtime to the virtual machine. Pick the host I want to move to, which is host 04, and at that point, click Next and start the migration path. Instead of the storage location being on the local host, I'm going to put this virtual machine up on a physical file share. So, but I can't do that because I forgot the one thing that you have to do when you want to move virtual machines over to a host, and that is, let's make these virtual machines
highly available.
Once we do that, then when I hit next here, it'll say, I got to put on the available share, which is the WAC host 01 share.
Right.
And that's where I'm going to store these virtual machines so that they're on that resilient file share shared infrastructure.
Yeah, and I noticed on the earliest slide you had little stars there. So that's probably, you know, a good thing. If you had multiple high available hosts, if you wanted to get a little better idea of what's the best place to place
it
to, gives you a little more idea there on the fly.
Exactly. So VMM uses an algorithm called that they call intelligent placement that allows me to determine host utilization, what kind of disk space available, all these different, it's like a couple hundred different checks and balances and sees which one gives you a better star rating. Choosing the better star rating just gives you a better chance of that virtual machine running without any resource contentions.
Yeah, and then of course you have that little details below there on what
If there was a problem, what to do to fix it. All right, so we pick all those things, go next, and at that point in time, hit move. Now we're going to launch, and when you run a task inside of VMM, it pulls up the jobs window, so you can see what's happening within this environment. So we're deploying this new virtual machine on the new host using shared nothing live migration. And what's that doing? Let me explain this to you.
It's a pretty big deal. It's different from Server 2902, the shared nothing migration. It exactly is.
And what we do is the following, is that we take, if we looked at that original virtual machine, it's running on local hard disk. Well, the other virtual machine, I mean, the other Hyper-V host can't see that local hard disk. So we got to move not only the virtual machine information, but also the VHD information, the VHDX file, to the shared storage that the cluster can maintain. So to do that, what we do is we're virtual machines running. We start a copy in the background of the VHD over across the network from the source host to the destination location. While we're doing that copy, and the virtual machine's still running, so any reads or writes are being updated inside that VHD file. After we finish that copy, then the next thing we do is we take and start copying the contents of memory, like a regular live migration. We're moving the memory, the CPU state, all that information. We copy that stuff over. While we're doing that copy, though, we're doing mirrored writes. So we're writing not only to the local disk here, because if we fail, we don't want to lose any data here, but we're also writing that data to the new disk as well, syncing all that stuff up so that the VHD file is always in sync, memory gets copied over, CPU information, VM information gets copied over. Once everything's copied over in the same, pause this VM, start this VM, all the stuff's running on this VM, and then we delete the virtual machine on the original host.
Yeah, and I know like when I've done these types of demos before too, I've done them even, I mean, we're doing from a non-resilient infrastructure to a full resilient infrastructure,
right.
but you can do this even on two Hyper-V Windows Server 2012 hosts, and I have literally done that where, you know, you have, I've had two basically laptops that run Hyper-V.
Yep.
You get one, just a cable, just a network cable in between those two.
Uh-huh.
Do that live migration just within Hyper-V. Of course, you can do it with VMM, and there's a lot more robustness and capabilities there.
Yep.
But even just within Hyper-V, you can do a server-to-server migration. You don't need shared storage. You just need a network cable,
yeah.
Right?
So think of a branch office environment.
Yeah.
We're at that branch. I have one, maybe two servers. Now I can put two servers in there. And if something's going to happen with the server, I'm running out of space, or I want to rebalance the workload, I don't need that shared storage. If I have it, I can use it. But if I don't need it, and I can move the virtual machines around where they want to be,
right,
where they need to be.
Right. And you know, the other thing, too, is, I mean, if you've got a number of of disks around,
right, in
your environment, you can kind of pull those together even, create a storage space, you know, if you're doing it on the cheap, right, you can create a highly available file cluster and kind of pull together resources and make something like this happen inside of your environment. So that's obviously one of the large things, the time that it's taken here, but still you're going to see here pretty quickly, right? I mean, you're going to have this migration come up.
79%, 10 of the 12 gig files. I mean, we're copying the entire virtual machine.
Yeah.
It's not like we're just copying that 512 megs of memory or that 2 gigs of memory. We're copying the entire VHDX file. And if this is, you know, a terabyte VHDX file, it will take a while to move over.
Right.
But for our case, it's 12 gigs, so it's almost done in the 3 minutes that we've been talking right here.
One thing I also want to point out, and I think that, you know, more and more the IT pros I talk to, they're starting to realize that you can't compare, you know, Hyper-V to what they're used to with, let's say, VMware or other, you know, products that they're using, in that Hyper-V is just our hypervisor, right?
Right, exactly.
And so this is, I mean, VMM is just one example of how there's a management console on top of that, and there's a lot of other products that help with the overall story when you're going at apples to apples kind of comparison of VMware versus Hyper-V.
There is no, I mean, this is the most difficult thing that customers get their hands around and people can get their arms around, is that to do everything that an organization needs to do, it's not just a hypervisor. It's not just a hypervisor plus virtual machine management, but it's all of that plus monitoring, plus service level management, plus automation, plus all of these different things that Windows Server plus System Center plus Windows Azure plus SQL give you that you don't get when you just have a virtualization platform that you're using inside of there.
Right.
And so apples to apples comparison, you can't compare Hyper-V to ESX because Hyper-V does a lot more than ESX does without vCenter. But when you add vCenter on it, that does more than what Hyper-V does. So you got to add more and more and more to make that evil,
Range. Yeah, and if you want, you know, a deep dive on that specific topic area, I mean, we have a full course on that of kind of for you VMware professionals out there that want to understand kind of the differences and the parallels.
Exactly.
Obviously, way beyond what we can cover today in our our short time here today.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, so this is almost done, and we'll let it go for a few more seconds while it's finishing its migration. I wanted to show a couple of things about VMM, because VMM is not just a virtual machine management interface anymore. It also has fabric management capabilities. And in the fabric management here, I may need to deploy a LUN of storage to a device so that I can start putting virtual machines on there. Well, I can do that now through the storage capabilities inside of VMM. We can add a specific provider, like like a provider for EMC storage or NetApp or something like that. Mm-hmm. But also with Windows Server 2012 and the iSCSI target in Windows Server 2012, I can add an iSCSI provider that allows me to delegate and distribute individual LUNs on an iSCSI server using Windows Server 2012 and allocate them to my different Hyper-V servers. So I have all these different options. And by creating classifications, I can say these virtual machines are more important than these other ones, so that's why they have some storage that's created. And there are bronze, gold, silver, so I can create different offering levels, and I can attach these virtual disks to those different offerings.
Yeah, and you know, if you watched the MMS keynote, one of the things that Vijay Tiwari did, the demos he did with VMM, is he did a migration of a virtual machine from on-premise to a hoster, like a service provider, right?
It was between two different data centers.
Yeah, two different data centers, exactly. Yeah. And that all happened while the networking infrastructure was abstracted. So that software-defined networking capabilities that are included in Virtual Machine Manager really help you to abstract things and making your VMs more available.
Exactly. And VMM is what I use to set up against all my different Hyper-V hosts that software-defined networking and build that network virtualization, attach those extensions for the Hyper-V switch, and that's all done through VMM. So we're doing a lot more than just virtual machine management inside of a virtual machine manager. And we're getting and giving you as a customer and you as an IT professional the ability to do a lot within the same tools instead of having to go every place else. Well, by now I'm pretty sure our migration has finished. And even though it's given us an error, that's just because the networking on the new system, I just got to make a change and pick the right network. But the virtual machine's migrated over. It hasn't gone down. Everything's up and running. And I did that through shared nothing live migration.
And the other thing I want to hit on, too, is that you know the live migration for us, it is live migration. It's not the old quick migration.
Exactly.
One of the tests I do when I do these migrations is I have a ping test, right?
Uh-huh.
So I just set the ping up, let it go continuously, do the migration, and you could see that, you know, boom, it just pops right back up on the other host, and you know, you're still available during that whole time.
Exactly. Okay. But now that we've moved that host over, virtual machine over to the host, the next thing we need to do is we need to enable Hyper-V Replica, because not only do I want to be resilient in my infrastructure, but I want to, with Contoso here, Richard has contracted with his service provider, Fabricam, to copy and store his VMs, and if he loses a host here, then he can bring up those virtual machines at the remote site.
Yeah, so let's just kind of one quick recap, though, on everything that's happened so far.
Sure.
Right, I mean, you as an IT guy, you've gone from a single standalone Hyper-V, where if the disk fails or if the Hyper-V server fails,
right,
you're SOL, right?
Exactly.
You got and now, right, we've now moved that VM live, like, so you don't have to have any downtime, schedule outages for the business,
exactly,
to a highly available cluster where if the storage goes down or if the Hyper-V, one of the Hyper-V nodes in that cluster goes down, you're fine. It's still up and available.
Yep.
But now that you have that, you're like, okay, well, right, back to that storyline we had before, the data center blows up, right?
Yep,
exactly. We went that DR plan. It seems like for a lot of IT guys, you know, that DR plan, depending on your organization, may be kind of old and dusty, or maybe you don't even have one.
Yeah, exactly.
Put it on the back burner.
Exactly.
But now you have a way to kind of quickly at least have a plan, even if you don't go through a ton of documentation to get that running, right?
Exactly. What I'm doing here is I'm going to connect into that host that we just moved the virtual machine over towards. And under host 04, we can see my server is running as a VM right here.
Everything's
going good.
The legacy app.
But I want to start now enabling replication on that system. And that's now built into Hyper-V Manager. So clicking on the legacy app 28 here, I then choose to enable replication. All I have to do is now go through a pretty quick wizard, and after I'm done with that, this virtual machine will now start replicating and creating a new VM on the hoster site, and will just start replicating its data over to the hoster.
Yeah, and on the Hyper-V side, you just need to light up the, you need to light up and say that, hey, I'm going to enable the replication, a replica server.
Right, so I enabled it on Hyper-V.
And then, yeah, and this can be a provider or somebody that doesn't have to be part of your domain. They don't have to be domain join, can be a workgroup machine. Now, there is an underlying layer of authentication that you need to make sure is set up for security, but, you know, you can still do that. So it's a pretty easy and flexible scenario.
And not only can I do that, I can choose how I communicate, whether it's port 80, port 443, HTTP, HTTPS, whatever. In this example, in the environment that we have today, we can just go over port 80. We don't have to spend the extra time to encrypt the data because we know and trust the pipe between our two connections here. Not only that, I can choose which VHDs I want to replicate. Maybe I don't care about the OS and I just want the data, or maybe I want just the OS and I don't care about the data. I can choose those types of things when I create it. The other thing is I can choose how many of these recovery points to save. So we replicate the data every 5 minutes. So every 5 minutes, we're going to copy all the content that has changed in the last 5 minutes over to the remote site. And over there, I may want to just use that most current one, or I may want to save additional ones. And those additional ones can be used so I can fall back to something. So if I fail, I may not want the last data, but the one before that, because maybe something happened in that last bit of data.
Right.
So I can save all that. Not only that, I can choose how do I get that initial data over there. For a small 12 gig VHD, fast pipe, not a problem. But what if it was a terabyte VHD and I was going over 56K or 256KB connection? Why don't I copy it to a disk, cart the disk over, bring it up over there, then sync the data over the network, and then start the replication process? So those are the options that we give you just with Hyper-V Replica. The other thing is you got to understand what kind of data is changing, how much data is changing, and how big your pipe's going to be, and whether or not you're going to be able to maintain it without maybe buying a bigger pipe or changing what you replicate. So you make all those decisions. You go through the wizard here. It's pretty quick, pretty easy, pretty straightforward. Hit finish. And at this point in time, it's going to connect over to host 05, and it's going to create that new virtual machine. And
It's enabled successfully.
Set up, and everything's working, so all of a sudden we can see it. And right here, if we look under status, we can see that we're sending the initial replica. We're copying that 12 gigs of file over to the hoster, and the hoster is going to create a new virtual machine. And let's see what my next steps are here, because as you can see, this is a guided experience, and I have all my steps over here on the right that we show on the left. And this immersion program, if you're interested in it, talk to your Microsoft rep, and they actually can have come on site maybe and give you a tour of this and have you guys use this in your environment together. So we went through, we've set up Hyper-V Replica, we've now kicked it off, moved it over, and at this point, we're sending the replica image in a couple of minutes, that'll be done, and we will have gone through that first whole story all the way from, like we said before, moving from that non-resilient local storage type connected environment to a cluster that's on shared storage. That then allows me to set up replica, which I could have done from the original one, but set up replica from this cluster so I have resiliency on premise and resiliency out to my hoster.
Yeah, that's a huge step for, I think, for a lot of folks and where they're at. This is one of the great scenarios for your foundation. But I think with that, we're going to wrap this module up.
Exactly.
All right.